All right, so let's talk a little bit about USC specifically. And we'll begin with the offense. I think the thing that's been most disappointing about USC's season this year has been their offense. And they do some things well. Like they move the ball. They put up a lot of yards. They had over 400 yards against LSU. They had over 500 yards against Utah State. They had over 400 yards against Wisconsin, over 400 yards against Penn State. I mean, over 400 against Maryland, over 400 against Rutgers, over 400 against Washington, over 400 against Nebraska. They've only been held under 400 yards three times all season. And that was against Michigan, Minnesota, and UCLA. They have only been they haven't yet to be held under 5 yards of play. They have been – their lowest yard per play total of the season was 5.2 against Michigan. Their next lowest was this past weekend, 5.3 against UCLA.
Thanksgiving isn't just about stuffing your face. It's about stuffing your wallet. And MyBookie's got a bunch of killer promos to help you do just that. Thanksgiving Day, MyBookie's boosting the odds on Devon Achane to score the first touchdown in Dolphins versus Packers. If he scores first, you cash in big. If he doesn't, MyBookie's got your back with a full refund. That's what I call a no-lose bet. Starting this week, MyBookie's Telegram prize pool contest kicks off. The pool starts at $15,000 and grows by $5,000 for every 1,000 new subscribers. All you have to do is join the Telegram channel by December 1st to lock in your share. Already subscribed? Well, you're automatically in. The more subscribers, the bigger the winnings. So spread the word and let's make this jackpot massive. Now here's the game plan. This Thanksgiving, load up your plate, grab your phone, and lock in your picks. MyBookie's giving you risk-free football action, a shot at a growing prize pool, and if you're new to the family, they'll double your deposit with promo code IRISH. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
So they're a team that moves the ball. They're a team that can obviously move the ball through the air. As we saw in the statistics, they rank 13th nationally in passing yards. They throw the ball a lot. You know, so that's why they only average 7.0 yards per attempt, which ranks 84th nationally. They throw the ball a lot. And I think that's a big part of their problem. Is Lincoln Riley is just – he's so insistent on throwing the ball a ton that I think it's kept them from being the team that they are. When you actually look at USC and when their offense is at its best, I actually think their offense is at its best when he uses the run game more effectively, and I just don't think he does that. They had 29 carries for 86 yards against UCLA, but if you look at the box score – it was some of that was scrambles by the quarterback. They didn't really allow Woody Marks to get going the way that I think he's capable of. When they use him, he's been a pretty good back. You know, their two running backs combined for 100 yards on 22 carries. And, you know, I feel like that's been the thing that's been, if you're a USC fan, frustrating. Is just the unwillingness to use the ground game. And if you look at the performance against UCLA, I mean, UCLA's only given up 99.3 rushing yards per game. I mean, they haven't allowed a team to go for – the only team that all year that went for over 140 yards against UCLA's defense was Oregon. And as I said, the two running backs combined for over 100 yards. And I just think Lincoln Riley has just not been willing – to run the ball the way that I think he should, because he's out to prove to everybody how smart he is. The run game was a big reason they had the success they had against Penn State. And they ran for 183 yards against Penn State. That was a big part of that performance. They ran for 182 yards in the win over Nebraska. So when they commit to running the football, they're actually pretty good about it. And a big reason for that is this is a big offensive line. It's not a super athletic offensive line, but it's a big offensive line. Their left tackle, Elijah Page, is 6'7", 320. Their left guard, Emmanuel Pregnon, is 6'5", 320. Their center, Jonah Monheim, who has played everywhere for them in the past. He was, I think, their left tackle last year. He's 6'5", 310. Alani Noah, who's their right guard, is 6'5", 335. And Mason Murphy, their right tackle, is 6'5", 315. The thing is, they're not a very good pass pro team. I mean, they give up a lot of pressures. But they've been a pretty solid run team all year. And a lot of that is due to their size. And Woody Marks is a quality running back. Their number two running back that they have, Quentin Joyner, an explosive running back. If you look at his numbers on the season, he's averaging 7.5 yards a carry. He's a freshman out of Texas. He's got 395 rushing yards on only 53 carries, 3 touchdowns. So he's a guy that's got some explosiveness. Had three carries for 82 yards against Penn State, including a 75-yard run in that game. Went for 10 for 84 against Utah State. So he's a guy that has some ability. So I won't be shocked if Lincoln Riley comes out and just tries to throw the ball over the field, because that's who Lincoln Riley is. But if he's smart, and not smart like X's and O's smart, but like smart in that, like, hey, this isn't about me, this is about what's best for my football team. If he's smart, he'll come out there, spread the ball, and run the ball more effectively. And the reason I think there's a chance he does that is I think that's what hurt them last year when they played Notre Dame. They didn't try to run the ball at all against Notre Dame last year. I mean, they came out throwing early and often, and Notre Dame just whooped them. 2 years ago, when they beat Notre Dame at the end of the year, Notre Dame had a really good pass defense that season too, and they were playing at a pretty high level at that point in time. And their game plan was geared early on around running the ball with Austin Jones. And they were effective. They ran for over 200 yards against Notre Dame that day and had a lot of success running on this Al Golden defense that season. Last year, they just fell – and part of it is they fell behind so quickly that they almost kind of had to throw the football. Don't be shocked if USC comes out and tries to run the football. And a lot of you will look at USC's rush offense and say, oh, they're not very good. They rank 84th nationally in yards per game. Fair. But that's more of a usage thing. I look at the fact that there's 22nd nationally in yards per rush. That's the statistic that means a little bit more to me, because what that tells me is when they want to run the ball effectively, they can run the ball effectively. And if they ran the ball more, I think they'd be more effective at it. And when you look at Notre Dame's offense, their schedule this season, they're not that far away from Louisville. Louisville's at 5.4 yards per carry. Obviously, Navy was at 5.4, a little bit of a different offense than what, you know, what other teams are. And Army obviously is at 5.9. Again, very different offense. But the only of the Power Four teams that Notre Dame has played, the only team that's got a better yards per carry average than them is Louisville, who's at 5.4. They're at 5.2. Your next closest is Texas A&M at 5.0, 4.96. Northern Illinois is 4.9. We know what they did to Notre Dame. Georgia Tech is 4.9. They'd be a lot higher if it wasn't for Notre Dame. So just yards per attempt, this team is the second most efficient Power Five team that Notre Dame will play all year. So I won't be shocked at all if they don't come out and try to run the ball a little bit more on Notre Dame early and try to keep some balance. And also the way Notre Dame's offense has been playing, I don't know that they want to necessarily give this offense a lot of possessions early on. So I think that's what you're going to see is in that game. And you know, one of the comments is the new quarterback isn't ready for the pass rush or a Golden defense. Well, we'll see. I will hope not. But that's why I think running the football could be effective for them, because Notre Dame is an undersized defense. Even if Howard Cross plays, he's going to be not 100%. You don't have great edge rushers. So what should you do? Neutralize that pass rush, neutralize that defense by running the football, which has been the one Achilles heel for this defense at times this season. You know, remember Louisville, Notre Dame held Louisville, and I you know, kind of air quote that a little bit. They held Louisville to 131 yards rushing, but remember they had a 40 plus yard loss on a muffed punt, a ball that sailed over the punter's head that went 40 yards back that took away from it. The offense actually rushed for over 170 yards in that game. So I think that's the matchup that I'm most concerned with for Notre Dame when you look at it. Now, the counter to that is when you look at USC, they haven't allowed a lot of tackles for loss this year. They're a big physical offensive line. Where I think Notre Dame could give them some problems is I think that some of the better run defenses they've played this year have been teams that get by on being big and physical. Notre Dame's kind of the opposite. Notre Dame is more about penetration and pressure and quickness and leverage and things like that, and that's a little bit of a different matchup for USC. So it's which part is going to carry the day. Is it the size and physicality of USC? Not size and physical. They're not a super physical team. They're just big and they're kind of strong. Or is it the athleticism, the discipline, and the leverage that the Notre Dame defensive line can play with? That's going to be a big part of this game. Because I do believe that USC, when they are on, can be a team that can make it a little bit challenging for your run defense when they want to. And I have a feeling that this is going to be a game where Lincoln Riley tries to come out and be more balanced early in this game. If he doesn't, if he just tries to come out and throw the ball all over the field, then I don't know that this game is going to be close. I really don't. He may hit a play or two here and there. They do have talented receivers. You know, he may throw a screen to Zachariah Branch that turns into a big play. He hasn't really developed as a receiver. He's a very dynamic return guy, but just not a super impactful receiver just yet. But you want to make sure that doesn't start this week, right? But he leads their team, second in their team in catches. Their leading pass catcher is actually their running back at 47. Mekhi Lemon leads him in yards. Kyron Hudson's coming off of a good game. They got Jacoby Lane, Deuce Robinson. They've got a lot of Lake McCray as tight ends, a good football player. They have a lot of weapons at receiver. They spread the ball around really well. They have not been a great big play offense this year in the pass game. They're capable of it. They pulled out a couple trick plays against UCLA as well, which I thought was interesting. But I look at it and say, if they think that this is going to be an athlete game, I don't know that that's smart. I don't know that, because the thing about their offensive line is they're big, but they're not very athletic as a tackle or guard. They're big guys. They struggle with pass rushes. They rank 21st in the country in sacks allowed, but that's because they get the ball out so quickly. They've actually given up a lot of pressure. So, I mean, we've talked about Notre Dame and how Notre Dame's offense has got to get better at this and got to get better at that. Well, consider this. So when you look at the Notre Dame offensive line and you look at the issues that we've had with them, right? And, you know, Riley Leonard protects you from not giving up more sacks and that's all true. But Notre Dame this season, their offensive line has allowed on the season 70 pressures on the season. Anthony Knapp leads your team with 21. He has given up the most. Next is Emil Wagner at 18. So that's 39 pressures allowed. Okay.
You've had Wendy's nugs dipped in sauce, but have you had them covered in sauce? Wendy's new saucy nugs takes the crispy and spicy nugs that you love and turn them up to 11. Choose between flavors like buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, or if you're a real heat seeker, try spicy ghost pepper only on Wendy's signature spicy nugs. I dare you. That's 7 delicious ways to try the nugs you already love. Pick a flavor, grab some extra napkins, and prepare to nug like you've never nugged before. For a whole new way to nug, it's gotta be Wendy's at participating U.S. Wendy's.
Light it. Hey, Irish Breakdown listeners, it's Urban Meyer. This fall, the game changes. Join me, Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram, and broadcaster Rob Stone as we bring you a new perspective on football and culture every week. We will be joined by the biggest name in sports and talk about everything inside and outside of the lines. Let us guide you through a new era of college football. Watch Triple Option on YouTube or listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
Now, again, Notre Dame's not a team that throws the ball a ton, but they throw the ball enough to where that matter, that number means something. Then you look at USC, and yes, they're good at not giving up a lot of sacks. But when you look at their numbers and you take a little bit of a deeper dive, they have allowed 107 pressures on the season. Elijah Page, their left tackle, has allowed 25 pressures, 9 sacks or hits on the quarterback. Mason Murphy has allowed 24 pressures with 13 of those being sacks or hits on the quarterback. That is a lot of hits on the quarterback. And that's not where you really want to be. And when you look, as I pointed out, the Notre Dame guys and what they do is Anthony Knapp leads the team with 21 pressures allowed. He's only allowed 6 hits or sacks on the quarterback. Emil Wagner's allowed 18 pressures. He only allowed 3 sacks or hits on the quarterback. Rocco Spindler's only allowed 1 hit or sack on the quarterback. Billy Shrouth has, according to Pro Football Focus, has not allowed a single hit or sack on the quarterback. Pat Coogan has only allowed 1 hit or sack on the quarterback. So with all the things we complain about with Notre Dame, USC is far more problematic when it comes to that. Their right guard, Alani Noah, has allowed 3 sacks or hits on the quarterback. Pregnon's allowed 4. Jonah Monheim's been really good. He's allowed 12 pressures, but only one of those was resulted in the quarterback get hit. So they've allowed 37 hits or sacks in the quarterback. on the season. Notre Dame's offensive line has allowed 16. Part of that's Riley Leonard, but the other part of that is just that they're just not good at protecting the quarterback, and that's something Notre Dame's going to have to take advantage of in this game. And that's why if Lincoln Riley is smart, I don't think he's going to put this game in game on his O-line, his pass blockers, and put it on his quarterback to throw the football. I don't know why you put that kid in at quarterback and don't let the team run more. It just doesn't make any sense to me why you would do that. So I think that they will do a better job. They were good against UCLA. They were better against UCLA. Gave up a couple sacks, only gave up 7 total pressures. But you know, there were still some issues in that game. They gave up 11 pressures. Noah Murphy and Pregnon all gave up 3 pressures against Nebraska, allowed 4 hits on the quarterback. So they're better than they've been. But I think part of that was they were a little bit more balanced against Nebraska than they have been in a lot of games recently. And I think that helped them a little bit in that matchup. So you look at what they do, it's still a Lincoln Riley offense. It's going to be a lot of screen game, a lot of quick game, a lot of ISO stuff, doing a lot of things where they're going to try to get, you know, use motions and alignments and movement to try to get certain isolations that they want to attack. They're going to find matchup advantages that they think they have in the pass game and do different things to get certain players matched up against those guys. You know, whether that's like maybe putting a faster guy or shiftier guy on Leonard Moore or putting a bigger guy on Jordan Clark, or, you know, finding ways to get their tight end. I could see their tight end being a big factor early on to try to maybe beat the blitz a little bit. That's a little bit of what Lincoln Riley does. His run game will be a lot of the, you know, quick hitter inside zone type stuff, trap stuff, also have some of the longer movement type stuff, the counters and misdirection type of runs. I mean, his offense is what it is. It's not any different than he's used in the past. They don't attack the ball down the field as much. That's the one thing that I've noticed is a little bit different about this USC team, is they don't seem to throw the ball vertically like as much as we've seen in the past. And so they'll throw it downfield. Don't get me wrong, but just not with the volume or effectiveness that we've seen in the past. And that's been an interesting aspect of it as well. And then the kid that they brought in, Jalen Maeva, he's thrown 11 deep balls in the season. So he'll chuck it deep a little bit more. I mean, he's 6 of 11 on the season on deep balls, but they throw a lot of short to underneath stuff. And I think it's a little bit more, you've got to be aware of the deep ball now than with Miller Moss at quarterback, but they're still not chucking it deep a lot. And I don't think they should with this kid going into his first couple starts. They should have been chucking it deep a ton, you know, but as I said, he's got 11 deep shots on the season and he's thrown what, 80 passes. So 1 out of every 8 passes is going deep. It's a lot more than what we saw under Miller Moss, but still not a ton of what we've seen in the past. So you're going to have to have a good plan to handle. They're going to try to get you in space a lot. They're going to force you to tackle well in space. They run game wise. I think the run game part is the thing that concerns me the most about USC, is if they can come out and establish the run game with Woody Marks running the off tackle runs, running the quick hitting inside zones. He gets downhill in a hurry. He's a really quick kid. He's an elusive back. When they start doing some of their stretch stuff and they get that big offensive line kind of moving, they can open up some holes and get him rolling. Same thing with the, with their backup running back. So that would be my biggest concern if I'm Notre Dame, is I'd be really concerned about going in there and giving up a lot in the run game and allowing them to do that. Cause I think that's when they're at their, like a lot of times teams that want to throw the ball, you're good to force them into incompletion or into the run, you know, force them to run. Like Louisville, you wanted to dare them to run. Miami, Ohio, they dared to run. They were going to take away your pass game, and they did that. And USC, I think, is a different, because USC wants to throw the ball more. I actually think they should run more. So I almost come kind of like, hey, dare them to throw it a little bit more. You know what I mean? And try to get your pass rush going and have a plan to kind of shut down their run game, because that would be the thing that concerns me the most is that run game, especially when you look at some of the issues Notre Dame's had at times handling the run game.
Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Unlike other apps on Prize Picks, it's just you against the numbers. All you do is pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. I'm a Bears fan, so this one gets me really excited. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Think Tyreek Hill will get more than 90.5 yards in week one? Aaron Jones runs for more than 66.5 yards? Cook up hot takes with your friends and win real money this football season when you and your crew run your game on Prize Picks. Prize Picks also has college picks all ready to go for you as well. Get in before game one hits and you can predict how many passing yards your favorite college quarterback will hit. For me, I think Riley Leonard's going to go above 2,550.5 yards, so I'm going to take that one. And I'm going to combine it with Quinn Ewers to throw 2,999.5 yards. Put those together and bing, bang, boom, baby. I'm going to be a winner. You just wait and see. I'm coming up on my 1-year anniversary of depositing my first $10, and I received an instant $10 bonus. If you have the skills, you can play for a shot at turning your $10 into $1,000. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code IRISH on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, run your game.
Hey, Irish Breakdown listeners, it's Matt Leinart.
I've got a podcast called Throwbacks with actor Jerry Farrar, where we'll be talking all things sports, but also so much more.
We'll give you the behind-the-scenes stories from my days as the quarterback on an iconic college football team to Jerry's days as a star on an iconic TV series.
So subscribe to Throwbacks on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
I think the receiver-DB matchup is an interesting one. Notre Dame is very young there. I could see USC saying, hey, we've got some matchups that we like on the perimeter. I'm very curious to see which ones those are. Do they find ways to get at, to try to get at a Don Shuler in the pass game? Do they try to do things where they get their big tight end on Xavier Watts? Do they try to get Xavier Watts out of the box? You know, man, I'm curious to see who they think they can go at in this game. I expect their running back to be a big part of their pass game too, to try to be some blitz beaters. You know, if Notre Dame's bringing their blitz, maybe running him on some angle routes, some swing routes, in hopes that Notre Dame turns them loose. I think we'll see a lot of things like that. They do. I mean, like I said, their running back's got 47 catches on the season. He leads their team in catches at 47. And then their number two running back, Quentin Joyner, as I mentioned before, has 11 catches. So their top two running backs have 58 catches on the season for about 400 yards. And it's not just checkdowns. They'll hit a lot of checkdowns, but it's swing routes, it's angle routes. They're going to do a lot of things to try to get those guys in space. And Notre Dame's going to have a plan for that. And that's where their speed comes into play. That's where Notre Dame's speed comes into play, and you're able to kind of to take advantage of that. Now, the one thing that, and we'll talk more about this on Friday, is I'm very curious to see if Notre Dame's edge players are going to be able to have any success against the USC tackles. They've struggled so far this season in protection, but I don't know that we've seen this Notre Dame defense really have a chance since Boubacar went down to show what kind of pass rushing team they are on the edge. They haven't played a lot of teams since that that are really great throwing the football, in my opinion. And a couple times that teams have thrown, the edge pass rush has not been great up to this point in time of the season. So I just – it's the other thing, too, why I think running the ball might be more effective for them is because – and Roger Dodger, our USC resident USC fan, just made a point where he talked about how Maiva has a much stronger arm than Moss, but he's not as good of a decision maker. And that's a spot on. And that's why against this defense, with as much disguise coverage as they run, with as much talent as they have, the tight windows that they provide, you know, look, this is a defense that has shown they go toe-to-toe with top receiving corps. We saw that against Louisville. We've seen that in past years. We saw that last year against USC. We saw that against Ohio State last year. This is a team that you know, they've faced some talented receiving corps before. Not as many this year, but they have. But this is a Notre Dame team that's really good at forcing mistakes by the quarterback. I mean, they lead the nation in completion percentage defense. They've allowed 47.6. The number two team, Texas A&M, is over 52. That's a big gap. Notre Dame's second in the country at fewest yards allowed per attempt at 5.3. They've allowed 6 touchdowns this season, and they've picked off 15 passes, which is tied for 9th nationally, and they rank number one in quarterback rating allowed. Going into a game plan where you're going to ask Jaden Maiava to go into this game and rip this defense up and throw the ball 35, 40 times, it would be coaching malpractice. A kid that turns the ball over, throwing the ball a lot. He's a guy, Jay Henry, also dropped 9 interceptions. Facts. I think they had 2 last week, right? But I just don't know how you go into a game against this pass defense and say, we're going to put it all on our quarterback's shoulders, who's making his 3rd start of the season, and say, go against the best pass defense in the country and throw the ball a bunch and have at it, kid. I don't think that. I think they're going to come into this game and run the ball, be balanced, and take some of that pressure off him, and then, you know, try to get Notre Dame to reduce the box, you know, play tighter to stop the run, and that's when they'll maybe have some ISO opportunities outside and in the slot to create some big plays. So that's what I would do if I was in their shoes. I think that would be a mistake. I think if talk about how can Notre Dame blow USC out, it's that right there, that he just comes out and let's throw it all over the yard against this defense. I think that would be a mistake. But the one question mark is if Notre Dame can't get to the quarterback, that would concern me a little bit. And you know, this offensive line's not great, but it's better than some of the, you know, it's better than Florida State's, it's better than Virginia's, in my opinion. It's better than some of the teams that we've seen them play lately. It's not great, but it's better than that. So we're going to find out if, you know, how they can perform in this particular regard. Like, I didn't think Virginia's edge player tackles are very good. And I didn't think Notre Dame did a great job of getting pressure off the edge against Virginia. A lot of the pressure that Notre Dame got against Virginia was up the middle, and was with your linebackers. And so, I mean, Riley Mills, your top 3 pressure guys in that game were Riley Mills had 4 pressures. You only had 13 in the whole game. Riley Mills had 4. Mookim had 2. Donovan Heinisch had 2. Jordan Clark had 1. Jack Kaiser had 1. You only had 2 pressures from the edge. Oh, I'm sorry. I did that wrong. That's hurries. Riley Mills was their top pressure guy, 5. Donovan Heinisch had 3. Mookim had 2. And then the other guys with 2. You had Bryce Young had 2. And Jack Kaiser had 2. Leonard Moore had 1. One of your backup DNs had 1. Drake Bowen had 1. Jaden Osborne had 1. Jordan Clark had 1. And Junior Tomaka had 1. So you only had 3 pressures from your edge players in that game. And I think you got to do a better job of that against USC. You're going to need Josh Burnham to have a better pass rushing game. He's been great against the run. You're going to need him to be a little bit better against the pass. You're going to need Junior to provide you a couple rushes. And this is a game where you hope that RJ Open kind of figures it out and steps up with his first real good pass rushing game of the year. And of course, Bryce Young's going to get his chances as well. So we're going to see if they're able to do that. I just, like I said, I would not be surprised if Lincoln Riley goes out there and tries to throw it all over the field. That's just who he is. But if he's smart, he'll try to figure out a way to run the football and then use RPOs off that and play action off that to try to, you know, get his quarterback into some favorable situations. But if he's just going to drop back all game and throw the ball around, this is going to be a blowout. It'll be a blowout, in my opinion. So that's it for the USC offense. We're going to do defense next, folks. But do me a favor. See that little thumbs up button right below you? I want you all to go and hit that for me and let us know that you like the show. Helps us out. Helps with the algorithm. All that good stuff. And make sure you sign up for the message board at boards.ourspreakdown.com. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.